Blog Talk Radio. The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
There's no better time to upgrade your phone at Walmart, because when you sign up for AT&T Next, you can upgrade to a Samsung Galaxy S5 for zero down. AT&T Next lets you upgrade every 12 months, so there's only one place for wireless. Walmart, more ways to Christmas joy.
Requires eligible installment agreement, qualified credit, and wireless service plan. Tax due at sale. If canceled, wireless service device balance due. New device after 1 year requires 12 installments, eligible trade-in, and new purchase. Other charges and restrictions apply. See AT&T.com/next or a store for details.
Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning. My name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Builder Building Stronger and Better Lives. And thank you for joining us for another International Mastermind Powerful Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Conversation. Today, we are talking about the Book of Faith, actually known as the third chapter of Think and Grow Rich. And for those of you that may have been listening with us for a number of shows, you know we have really been discussing the power of the mastermind concept as we use the principles espoused in the book Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon Hill wrote this book many years ago as he was encouraged by Andrew Carnegie to do research on the most powerful, the richest, and the most influential people of his day. And what he has discovered, we are using even until today, which really are the principles for success, not just about money, every single area of your life. And a large part of that is faith. He actually goes on to say that faith is the head chemist of the mind. And when faith is blended with the vibration of thought, the subconscious mind instantly picks up that vibration, translates it into its spiritual equivalent, and transmits it into infinite intelligence, as in the case of prayer. We today are joined by our guest, Sandan from Australia, and she was on many weeks ago, and we received rave reviews from her show. And today she's joining us again. And so what I'd like to do at this time, I'd like to go to a commercial break and bring Sandan on and have her join us as we discuss Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Thank you, and we are back. And I'm also joined by my friend and mastermind partner from the Palm Beach Life Planners, Sharon Jackson. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Ann. I'm glad I'm here.
Thank you. Well, Sharon, as you know, the last time we had Sandan on, we had a really good, lively discussion. And I just want to introduce her to our guest again. Over the last 35 years, she has been immersed in the teachings of many of the world's masters of personal development and spirituality, and has been lucky enough to have been coached by some of the foremost teachers in their fields, as well as sitting at the feet of an enlightened master living in an ashram in India for many years. Good morning, Sandan. How are you this morning?
And I was like, oh, that's me.
Of course. Good morning. Yes.
It's 10 p.m. here, so good evening, good morning, and hello, listeners.
Good morning again, Sandy. And as you know, I had to at least open your lines. Good morning again.
I was going to ask you that. So, yes, I was saying it's actually 10 p.m. here in Australia. I'm on the east coast of Australia. So you got up really, really early to be on this call, and I'm staying up, not late, certainly not past my bedtime, but we're on, Antipodean times, I think. And I'm very, very well, thank you.
You know, Sandan, you make a very, very interesting point, because I think that this is the beauty of the Internet and a virtual world, because Sharon Jackson is joining us from where, Sharon? Sharon, where are you this morning?
You may
I think
have
she's
to
on
open
mute.
Her line.
No, her
I'm
line
on
is
Illinois. In Illinois. I'm in the St. Louis, Missouri area.
Now, and that's a different time zone, and I am actually hosting the show along with Sharon this morning from San Diego, California. And it's 4 o'clock here, 5 o'clock now. a.m., and you're in Australia, and it's 10 o'clock p.m., and so this is truly, on behalf of the International Mastermind Association, this is truly by faith, no pun intended, but this is truly an international call today, and it is the beauty of what technology can do as it flattens the world, as Mr. Friedman talked about in his book, The World is Flat. But right now, we are going to share some thoughts, if you will, from the book Think and Grow Rich, actually Chapter 3. And what I'd like to do, Sandan, is have you share with our listeners about you in terms of how did you come to this point of enlightenment, if you will, as relates to your faith walk.
Well, that, I laugh when you say that word, because I think it's a word that is very overused. And in terms of having sat with an enlightened master, I think enlightenment is really when you come to a point where you're at one. You're not affected by the things that go on. Your buttons don't get pushed. You're relaxed. You're in the flow. And I certainly cannot say that I live like that, but it is my aspiration to move in that direction. The purpose of my life is hopefully, without sounding pompous and arrogant, I'd love to be fully awakened so that I can, I think a planet full of fully awakened beings would be the most sensational thing, and I'm certain, not certain, but it's unlikely we would see that in my lifetime, but to wish for that in the next 100 years, and really, I think the longing of so many people, it's a bit off topic, but the longing of so many people is to make this world a paradise on earth. So when you use that word enlightened, I'm like, oh, okay. But it is my desire to touch as many people as possible and help them. And I think that faith, when you told me that we were going to be covering the second chapter last time I was here, it was about desire. So that first getting clear on what it is that you want. Okay, Think and Grow Rich is about wealth and abundance and affluence, money. But, you know, there's many other desires that we have, and so many people are able to tell you what they don't want. But it's a really important element of focus and desire to get clear what is it that you want. But then Napoleon, he says the second step toward riches is that you need to have faith. And you read the first paragraph, which I smiled because I'd also underlined that. And I said, okay, so really, what is faith? And I found a little quote, which although it's not in the book, I think sums it up very beautifully. It says, faith consists in believing when it is beyond the power of reason to believe. And we all know that thing. They say, you know, people say, I'll believe it when I see it. And you go, no, you'll see it when you believe it. That, for me, is faith.
Wow, that's powerful. Could you just repeat that one more time?
which bit about when you
the last part because I am posting this on Facebook and I want to make sure I get it right because that is so powerful.
I think it's a common quote that they always say. People are always saying, you know, oh, I'll believe it when I see it. It's almost like a little axiom, isn't it? Oh yeah, you'll believe it when you see it. And it's not. You'll see it when you believe it. And really,
wow.
It's more than belief. It's when you have the faith, the absolute, you know, it's intrinsic in the body. It's not in the head. It's not about reason. It's when something inside of you is so convinced that even that's not the right word, faith.
Wow. What are your thoughts about that, Sharon?
No, she's absolutely right. So many people believe they're outward in people, and that's what she's saying. And that's when they see it, that's when they believe, that's when they act. You know, that's when their activity and their emotions get involved. But she's an inward out person. So everything that she has is inside. She knows it. She knows that she knows. She believes. And she probably speaks things out. So she is. She and a lot of faith people aren't moved by what they see. They're moved by what they know on the inside, what they have faith. So they're inward out people. That's an interesting. It's a powerful, powerful thought.
When you say she, do you mean me?
I mean you.
Oh, well, I would like to say that I live from that place. That would be very, very beautiful. And I just said to Anne before we were chatting, before the call went live, and I said, how great is it that we really get to study and talk about what we need to learn? Faith is a huge thing for me. You know, and I think what so many people do is they're kind of like, they have faith up to a point, and when they don't see the goods arrive, they go, okay, so where's my stuff? I asked, you know, and they can't hold a space of being in faith and trust and allowing grace to come through. And there's another quote I've got here. Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. But there's a moment where you just, or me personally, I just go, oh, God, I don't think I have the conviction sometimes when, you know, things outwardly are not looking that crash hot. to stick in there, and I think that's one of the greatest lessons for a human being to learn. You know, there's so much going on right now. There are so many challenges for people, and, you know, we talked before, job losses and homes being lost. It's not necessarily, we don't talk about it in the media so much all the time, but it's still going on worldwide. People are being stretched to the max. How do you have faith when that's going on and you're asking for deliverance, you're asking for help, you want change, you want things to get better? Geez, faith is like the ultimate stretch, I reckon.
I think this is on topic, but you made a mention about, oh my gosh, do I have enough faith for this? But what is the next thing that you do to make sure that you stay on course? You know, faith, I mean, a lot of people, yes, please, a lot of people don't realize that, yes, I'm going to have faith, you know, and if it doesn't happen within the next 2 days, all of a sudden, wait a minute, this faith thing doesn't work. But, you know, it may take a week, it may take a month, it actually may take a year. Developing faith and bringing your vision into being, into physical being, is a process. So how do you stay on the course of faith to bring your vision from into being, I guess is the question.
Great question. And me personally, how I do it is I know my personality structure well enough to know that I have two choices. So when I don't have faith, I go into freak out and fear and stress and anxiety and worry, or I can pull myself back and go, okay, you've got to relax. Because there's only two options. There's the tension, there's the anxiety, or there's the place where, I think we may have talked about it last time, where you have to let go. Because if you, me, I say you, but if I do not let go, you know, I get heart palpitations, and you know, I know how to do that, and it's not productive. And it's certainly, we talked again last time, I mean, I'm a law of attraction coach, and the law of attraction is always working. And Napoleon talks a lot about thought and the suggestion of thought. I made some notes, but, you know, he talks about the negative beliefs that we have and the negative self-talk and then, you know, convincing the subconscious mind. And if you keep filling the subconscious mind with stress, worry, anxiety, what's it going to keep reproducing is more of the same. So me, my answer to that is I know myself well enough to, I have to go for a walk on the beach or meditate or, you know, put on some empowering CD or pick up Think and Grow Rich, whatever it is, but I have to pull myself back into a place where I'm at the crossroads of going down one dark road or choosing to just relax.
Yes, Sharon, I'd like to just chime in, if you may. You know, in the book, it talks about the fact that even though faith is a state of mind which may be induced or created by affirmation or repeated instruction to the subconscious mind through the principle of auto-suggestion, he talks about the methodology by which one develops that faith where it does not already exist is extremely difficult to describe, almost as difficult, in fact, as it would be to describe the color of red to a blind person who has never seen the color, any colors, and has nothing with which to compare what you describe to him. And that faith of the mind, which you may develop at will after you have mastered these principles. But I just wanted to go on to say that one of my favorite books talked about faith comes by hearing. And so when you ask the question about how do you do that, and it just may be different for different people, just wanted to just
interject
that. So what are your thoughts about that, both of you?
Sharon, go for it.
Okay, while we're waiting for Sharon,
you know,
I'm off mute.
Yeah, no, you know, and that's right. I don't want, I have a tendency to walk around when I'm listening. You know, and Anne's right. I used to operate with fear, a lot of fear. My work environment was around men, and there was a lot of intimidation, at least I thought it was. So what I used to do, Andy said, Ann would talk about auto-suggestion. I wrote down scriptures from the Bible, and every time I felt fear, I would bring them up. I wrote down quotes that I loved out of poems, out of stories, out of books that I had read, and I would read them every time I thought that I was losing it. And so it was that auto-suggestion that at one point I didn't feel that need to automatically go to my quote. Literally, I carried them around in my pocket. Auto-suggestion was something, that is what I did, for auto-suggestion, repeating it, until it became part of my lifestyle. And for me, it was just necessary. That was when you say, bring your purse, come back, get a grip on this, the situation, that's how I had to do it.
Sam Dan, what
am
about
I
you?
I was going to say, am I on mute? I think it's a habit. We have a habit of negative thinking, and in order to instill a new habit, it becomes with practice. I've spoken before, the reason people have coaches is just to, like having a driving instructor or something, is just to remind us that we're focusing on stuff that doesn't empower, that we're filling the subconscious by the words that we use and the things that we focus on. It's just as easy to focus on stuff that even, it isn't real, but in order to bring it into our reality, it is real somewhere. I mean, I'm not a quantum physicist, but there are people who talk about, all time is happening at the same time. So somewhere what we're trying to draw into our lives is already in existence, and what we're looking at is the four walls around us, and that's all we're seeing, but it's so limiting.
Wow. That statement about the negative, we do have a tendency to focus on that which is negative before we focus on that which is positive. And it is really retraining the mind to think differently. And it's a lifelong process of learning how. And I want to just encourage our listeners, if you are interested in participating in the show, press 1 on your dial and we will entertain your question. And right now, we're going to go to another commercial break, and we will come back with our special guest, Sandan from Australia.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we are back to the International Mastermind Blog Talk Radio Show discussing the book Think and Grow Rich with our special guest today, Sandan from Australia. And being a Law of Attraction coach certified by the Quantum Success Coaching Academy and a lifelong student of spirituality and transformation, Sandan is very well placed to talk about metaphysics and the universal laws pertaining to Think and Grow Rich. Good morning again, Sandan, and welcome again to the show. We're just talking about the power of faith in each of our lives and how we really exercise that faith. And as we were talking before the show started about this chapter on Think and Grow Rich, I just wanted to just read for a moment, and we'll go back to our conversation. Just another section from the book Think and Grow Rich. And he talks about the fact that our mind is dominated by positive emotions. And we were talking about the negative right before the commercial. He says that our mind, a mind dominated by positive emotions becomes a favorable abode for the state of mind known as faith. A mind so dominated may at will give the subconscious mind instructions which will accept and act upon it immediately. Faith, again, is a state of mind which may be induced. Now, he says induced by auto-suggestion. And then we go on to talk about the faith that when you have faith in yourself, faith in the infinite, and that can be whatever it means for you, whoever you are listening, before we begin, you should remind yourself that faith is the eternal elixir which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. So just wanted to get your thoughts, both you and Sharon, both, because for each of us, faith, you know, was introduced to us at a different point in our lives, and it means very different things. And so when I read this book, it just began to read me and where I was in my faith walk at the point that I read it. So your thoughts, please, Sandan.
Wow, there was so much in there. I mean, everything you said is almost the whole basis of the book, Think and Grow Rich. And I find personally the word faith is quite loaded because it has, in a way, so much religious connotation. People tend to use the faith in God, and even God itself is, you know, there's so many people mean so many different things. So for me personally, I found another quote that I thought really summed it up so beautifully. And what's his name? Napoleon Hill, at some point he says, faith is the basis of all miracles. And I thought, that's absolutely fantastic. Those things, those moments that come in our life that are completely inexplicable, that almost come out of the blue, and, you know, out of the blue is a very law of attraction thing, the resonance that we create. We don't even know what we're vibrating with, but we've attracted something in. And I think that when we're open and we open our hearts to the light of grace or God or infinite intelligence, whatever you want to call it, then all things become possible. And I had an amazing conversation today with a very good friend of mine who I was encouraging her to sell a house that she owns. And she was like, oh, no, that'll never happen. And I said, wow, wait, listen to yourself. Just listen to what you're saying. How do you know? Because you've decided that will never happen and it can't do this and it can't do that. And this whole story, I was just like, wait, just reframe that. Just open to possibility. Just relax. Just, you know, allow the miracle, the miraculous into your life. And then everything becomes possible.
Wow. Basis of all miracles. That's powerful.
It's
the basis. It really is. And when you think about every area of your life, how do you really apply it? I was sharing my grandson and I in San Diego for a National Speakers Association conference, and when we checked into the hotel, by faith now, right at the moment when you talk about you were sharing with her to listen to what she was speaking. And when we checked into the hotel, I was sharing with my grandson as we checked in. I said, you know, last time I stayed in this hotel, I really wanted a room that had a view. Now, this, again, is by faith, and it's really also designing what you want in your life and by faith believing it will happen no matter how small or how large. And a lot of times, we get stuck on the big things, but when you really think about big things, they're really a combination of many small things. All right, would you agree with that? Okay. All right, so I said to him, I said, you know, I really wanted a room, a corner room, that had a view all sides of the bay. And so he said, Grandma, you know, that's possible. Now, that's a 14-year-old, right? So as we checked in, and the lady said, well, you know, we have a very special room for you. I said, really? She said, yes. It has a view of all three sides of the bay. I looked at him, he looked at me, and we gave each other a thumbs up because by faith, I desired that, and it showed it's a very small thing, but I think that as we practice the use of faith, little by little, it's like I consider it like a muscle for me. I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, as I practice the use of that faith, it grows and grows and grows from the very small to the very large. So, Sandan, can you share with us an example of how that faith walks and works in your life?
Well, before I do that, I was going to say that also one of the challenges of faith is it's very beautiful when you get a thumbs up from the universe, you know, like a wink that says, hey, you know, are you watching? I'm giving you a sign that actually your faith is being rewarded, if you like. We're listening to you. And I think that the true faith is when you still keep going regardless and you can't see the signs. And, I don't know, instances of faith, just miraculously amazing things that happen. I don't know, just at a time when I needed some work and somebody rang me up, and again I used that expression, out of the blue, and then they were saying, is this something you'd be interested in? I'm like, are you kidding? This is just like so utterly perfect. I couldn't have even considered doing this that you're asking me to do if there wasn't some divine force that had put this in place. You know, those are the moments that I get. It's like being on drugs or something. You know, it's like my serotonin level just shoots up because I'm so happy and excited because I couldn't have made that happen somehow. Those are the beautiful things that really give me more faith. And they're the things I remind myself when I'm kind of in the doldrums a bit. And I go, you know, the universe has you back. So.
Wow. Now, what about you, Sharon? An example of how that faith walk works in your life? I'll give you a moment.
Yeah, I was off mute. There's a lot of feedback, so I'm trying to stay off mute. On mute to see if that helps. I guess the thing about faith. I told you that I used to operate in an office situation where there was a lot of intimidation, and you know it was one of those things where I continued to read. I continue to speak into the atmosphere. I continue to say, okay, you know that I'm a great writer. I know that I speak well. I know this, I know that. And then I would read books on it to bolster my faith. And eventually it came. Eventually they started sending people to me for me to read their writing and correct it. Eventually people started putting me up to the podium because I could speak. So it's staying on not necessarily what you see, but what you know, and making sure that you feed your mind and feed what is inside of you by not necessarily talking to other people, because other people, you know, unless they're well chosen, can feed other things that are negative into you or around you. So I would, you know, that was a process. It was a process for me that I had to stay focused on what I read, what I fed myself, and what I spoke, and the words that I used.
Now, I want to
Can you hear me at this point? Am I on mute?
No, we can hear you. We can hear you, Sandan. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I have a great friend, and she said, and this has been life-changing for me, and she only taught me this a few weeks ago. She said, never speak anything that you do not wish in your life unless it's sharing with somebody who can help you with the problem. And I'm going to say that again. Never speak anything that you do not wish in your life unless it's to share with someone who can help you with the problem. And when you make that your mantra and your daily meditation and you watch at what comes out of your mouth and the things that you say, it so takes us away from the state of grace and faith. You know, when you're not doing that, when you're complaining, when you're looking at what's wrong, when you're, I don't know, just focusing on the negative stuff. And I threatened to Anne that I was going to read this poem out of this chapter on faith. I might not read it all, but honestly, just the first verse, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but you think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out of the world we find, success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. Oh, can I go on then? There's a silence. I'm going to read the last two paragraphs.
Yes.
If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but soon or late, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Boom.
Now that, I love that, and actually that's the poem we would have our young people to memorize as a part of the International Mastermind Youth Group, and we would have them share that with us when we would hold our annual or semi-annual meeting, because it is so powerful when we can get that ingrained in us. And so thank you so very much. Thank you. That's one of our favorites. We do have a caller with a question. Yes. We do have a caller with a question, and your last four numbers is 1700. Good morning. Your line is open. Good morning. I think this may be Rosa Carter. Rosa,
I'm sorry.
Good
morning.
Yes,
this
okay,
is Rosa
good.
From Jacksonville, Florida.
Good morning.
You know, I want to thank y'all ladies for, again, on this topic, and I want to thank the guests for coming back. I enjoyed you the first time, and I'm enjoying you again this time, so thank you for depositing that positivity
thank
in
you.
My life. My question would be, and I think y'all touched on it, you all touched on it when you were talking about your faith walk, but as we all know that faith without works is dead, and I see that y'all are applying it in your life, and that's why you have that now faith result, as Anne spoke about her and her grandson. That was a now faith action that happened at the hotel with the corner room. But my question to you would be, when you have family and friends that's close in your camp that has stinking thinking most of the time or negativity,
mm-hmm.
how do you apply that faith, or how do you reassure that faith to keep you on your positive and on your desires and on your goals when you constantly have someone that's in your camp with that negativeness? And is there a way for you to deposit something into them that they can start applying and going on that faith journey for themselves? I guess it's a twofold question.
Okay, thank you for the question. We're going to go to Sandan first, and then we're going to go to Sharon, and then we're going to come back to me, and then we're going to take a commercial break. Thank you so much for the question, Rosa. Okay, Sandan?
Rosa, you have a beautiful voice. Lovely, lovely, lovely voice, and thanks for the question. And I wish I had listened more carefully to a call I was on the other day when somebody asked the same question of the speaker. But I think that we can't change someone else. We can only send them love and light and appreciate that most of the time when they're in, you know, what did you call it, stinking thinking, I think that's brilliant, they're afraid. They're afraid of jumping into the unknown. They're afraid of their own lack of faith. They then like trying to project it onto you. You know, it's just a lack of their own faith. And when we can see that for what it is, instead of being affected by their negativity, it takes, again, it's habit, it's practice. My good friend this morning with the story with the house. I mean, she's a really good friend, but I told her that I had a plan to do something. And she just heaped this stuff on me. And I was like, wow, you're my friend. You're not supposed to be talking to me like this. You're supposed to be supporting me. But I realized it's not my story. That's her story. And it takes a lot of presence to be able to unhook from the people we care about, and it pains us to see their pain. But what can we do? We cannot change them. We can only send them love and light and become all that we can be, because that eventually will rub off on them somehow. The more light we become, the more that shares around the people in our environment, if that makes sense.
I'm glad you did that.
No, thank you. Thank you. Okay, Sharon. Thank you, Cindy.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that, because as she was speaking, and actually as Roses was speaking, I was thinking about a young woman that I've been around a lot since I've been here in Illinois, and fear comes out. She uses the word fear a lot. I'm afraid. Even some of it is jokingly, I have made mention of, you know, I said you're not meditating, you're not thinking on something, and she's acting, you know, sometimes she's actually asking about what can I do about this, what do you think, and this and the other. And I said, well, you know, you need to spend some more time meditating, you need to spend some more time thinking, and after about the third or fourth time, and she still would come back with the thought about fear and some of the negative comments, at that point I was quiet, because it's a state of mind either that she's comfortable in and she hasn't realized that the importance of coming out of it. You know, we all have our own journey, and we come to a point of critical change when it's our time, not when we want someone else to have a critical change. They have to make a decision. You know, you can obviously shine a light, but if they don't decide to jump into the light, there's nothing you can do. And just like we have already been told, at that point you start sending them thoughts of love and just sending them thoughts of love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to go back.
I'm
sorry, could you repeat that, please, Sandan?
I said that was just beautifully said. That was wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful response.
Yes, you know, sometimes when we have that level, it's like it's better left untouched. It's almost like when you hear a sermon preached at a visiting pastor comes to your church. And sometimes it's best that your pastor just leave it alone and not touch it to ad lib. So I'm going to leave that alone and leave my comment.
chicken.
And I'm going to take that cue to go to another commercial break. So please stay tuned.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And welcome back to the International Mastermind Association Think and Grow Rich conversation with our special guest, Sandan from Australia. And we have just had a wonderful conversation. She has a varied background in energy work, psychic reading, meditation, and Reiki, as well as having spent many years working with Tony Robbins and learning more down-to-earth skills like NLP and counseling from the heart. And welcome back again, Sandan.
Now, as we prepare to wrap up the show, is there anything you'd like to share that we've not covered so far on the show?
Well, one of the things I really appreciate about Think and Grow Rich is that although to read it in the 21st century, some of the language is kind of, you have to read some of the chapters over and over again, which is a good thing. But the thing that strikes me so much is how what's the word, pertinent it is for what's going on right now. So, you know, he wrote it at the end of the Great Depression and, you know, how many entrepreneurs had come forward. And he makes lots of comments about what was going on at the time. And I find some of them are so relevant to today. And he, one of the things I picked out that we haven't really covered on, but he said, during this depression, the world had evidence in abundance that widespread fear will paralyze the wheels of industry and business. And out of this experience will arise leaders in business and industry who will profit by the example which Gandhi has set for the world. And they will apply to business the same tactics which he used in building the greatest following known in the history of the world. And what are we seeing today? We're seeing all over the world people really standing up. I mean, I don't want to start becoming too much of an activist here, but really people power, people saying, you know, that the big business that has been, you know, doing some terrible things, and it's all, you know, transparency now, things coming to light, governments doing things. The most amazing thing is happening on the planet right now, and everything that was based in the past on force and fear, Napoleon Hill said, you know, I don't know, 70 more years ago, all of that will be supplanted by the better principles of faith and cooperation. And I mean, you could read this book and it would be as though it had been written for these times, and that's why I really encourage people to get their teeth into reading it. It's just, you know, it's all the law of attraction, the stuff that's very kind of common in New Age talk, but everything that he talks about is just utterly relevant for today.
Wow, very, very, very well said. And as you were saying that, I was thinking about how powerful the words of this book has helped so many of us during the 90s and during that time when many people actually became millionaires as a result. And it was, those were the people who had trained their minds for prosperity, utilizing the principles of a successful business and a successful life. Now, how did you use these principles, Sandan, in your life during those times?
I'm not even certain if during the 90s I was really so aware of. I had never read Think and Grow Rich until I came to Australia, and I said last time I became involved in a group of bloggers and online entrepreneurs, and one of the guys suggested that we create a mastermind group and that we meet every week and discuss a chapter and do pretty much what we're doing now, but we all kind of threw in. That was actually the first time that I read Think and Grow Rich, and you know, the side of me that lived in an ashram was all about meditation and enlightenment, and it was when I came to Australia I realized that I was like a bird on with one broken wing, that I needed to learn more pragmatic skills. Although, having said that, Think and Grow Rich is very esoteric, faith, desire, all those kind of things, you know, the power of thought, the power of connecting those thoughts with emotion. I didn't know any of that stuff. And I'm still learning it now. When you say, how did I use it? It's my daily practice. It's my daily practice when something happens. And I'm like, oh, no, worry, fear. You know, my life is still quite uncertain. And I think one of the greatest things I've learned, not necessarily from Napoleon Hill, but certainly from my time with Tony Robbins, was that the person who can deal the most confidently in uncertainty is the person who is going to thrive, and having faith in uncertain times is a real skill to learn. so. It's my daily practice. And life certainly throws me enough stuff to get the opportunity to practice it.
Right, it's just like we talked about earlier, and I said to Jess, it's like growing a muscle. You know, the more we use it, the stronger the faith muscle becomes. And it reminds me oftentimes when I walk by a really, really muscle-bound man, and I see he's invested many hours and sometimes years in growing the muscles that we see in the body externally. And I walk away thinking, I wonder how much time this person may have invested in exercising the muscles of his brain and his mind and his faith in that relationship, which carries which. And so when you said your daily, it's really a moment-to-moment experience when we think about different situations we encounter. And so I really thank you for that, because that is truly a blessing when you think about how powerful the thought is in that faith walk. And I'd like, please, if you would share with our listeners how they may be able to reach you in the event someone may want to connect with you, just like last time after the show is over.
Well, I work with my friend Karen on a website called Expanding Times. So that's expandingtimes.com. Right now, somebody has hacked into our site. So I think the site is up there and you can see everything. It may be more challenging to connect with me through there, but you can certainly write to me through support@expandingtimes.com. I live on Facebook, you may have noticed. So if you look for Sandan Australia, and that's S-A-N-D-H-A-N, Australia, which is not my surname, but it's I had to have a surname for Facebook. I always think Madonna and Cher, they're allowed to have one name, but I had to have a surname. So Sandown Australia on Facebook. And if you go into iTunes and you put in Expanding Times or my name Sandown, you'll be able to come across a whole series of podcasts, which I've discovered are now, they're kind of like going around the planet, and I meet people all the time who've been listening to them, and that just, you know, that fills me with joy and pleasure that I can touch people and teach them stuff. And, you know, I'm a coach, so anybody wants any help with anything, I just love to share. I mean, if I have any wisdom, it's because I've fallen down sufficiently many times and picked myself up again and hopefully learned the lessons. But you know, I bear the scars of some battering from life, but I think if you're intelligent, that's what makes you a wise person with something to share with those that come after. So I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And Sharon, I'm not sure if you have any comments you'd like to share before we prepare to wrap up the show.
No comments, but another question. Did you say that you had uploaded any of your talks or anything on Facebook? YouTube.
Yeah, no, not really so much on YouTube. Everything's on iTunes. They're podcasts, and we call them fireside chats, and they're about half an hour, and I've interviewed people on different topics. I haven't really put them up onto YouTube. I, if somebody wants to be my free virtual assistant and be my, my grasshopper, I'd love somebody to help me with some of this stuff. There's not enough hours in the day. Anne knows about that. You just, by the time you've done your Facebooking and all the other things, I could split myself into 50 parts. So there's not so much of me on YouTube. Besides which, I'm a bit camera shy.
Very good. I shall find you where you are.
Yeah, if you just put my name Sandan in, there's not so many of us. I'm sure something will come up if you Google, but certainly on Facebook, iTunes, and expandingtimes.com. And I'm sorry if I've monopolized the call a bit, Sharon. That wasn't my intention at all.
No, are you suggesting about this particular show call? This is your show. most definitely, like Sharon said, we really want to have an opportunity to share more of your voice and your spirit. So if you have something that you'd like to share, please also share with us on our Facebook page, International Mastermind, and also the Blog Talk page, any links or anything that you'd like to share with our listeners, and they can find you there. So please connect with us. Yes, most definitely, because we do get requests inbox to us about you and your show and being able to stay in touch.
Super nice. There's one thing I wanted to say when we were talking, or when I was talking about this daily practice, or you said minute-by-minute practice of moving back into faith, meditation is the way to do it. So when I said, you know, I was a bit one-sided, certainly the years I've spent learning to be more still, to be more quiet, to be more at ease somewhere, meditation is a huge part of being able to have faith. You know, Sharon was saying about taking action, having the desire, then moving into action, but equally being able to be still and wait for the right moment to tune in, to trust one's gut, to trust the heart, to trust the intuition. So I guess I'll be coming back and talking some more, I hope.
Yes, and then can you share what is that? Can you talk about meditation minute to minute? Because I don't want to assume that our listeners really get it. And for those who are on that faith walk or that enlightenment walk or journey, you know, it's different for different people, and you may have people who may be listening and really not understanding. What do you mean when you say meditation minute to minute? Can you describe or share what does that look like in your life?
Oh, Lordy, in the last 4 minutes of the show, we'll have to have a whole conversation about meditation. I think meditation is something that virtually all of the teachers these days, if you listen to Abraham of Abraham Hicks, or you listen to Eckhart Tolle or Deepak Chopra, they all advocate meditation. And I think many people think that it means you have to sit in a lotus position, kind of chanting, you know, with the fingers in the kind of looking like an Indian mystic. And it's none of that at all. It can be that. But going to a yoga practice, walking on the beach, singing, dancing, just, I don't know, going to taking a beautiful flower, a rose, and just looking at it for 5 minutes. Anything that stops the hurly-burly of life and brings you into presence and now. Because when you're in now, you're not thinking about the past and you're not worrying about the future. And more you can get into a practice of stopping the buzz of the mind and just be present with now, the more peaceful you become and the more faith can grow. I don't know who answered that question, but it sounded pretty good to me.
Well, no, it does. It does. Actually, absolutely it does. And I can just only think about my own life and how, you know, how I practice that. And I, as I was listening to what you're saying and just really appreciating the idea of a moment-to-moment meditation in the quietness of the time that we have and really just enjoying right where you are. And so for many of us, it's different things for different people. For myself, you know, we, Sharon and I and a group of us are in a mastermind group together, and we talk about, although we practice masterminding in 10 different areas of our life, spiritually for myself, when I rise every morning, I do what I call a daily date with myself. And that is just simply taking actually a few hours to do exactly what you said. And then during the day, actually being present when I'm talking to people, when I'm in the presence of people. Sure, we text, sure, we talk on the phone, and sure, we do a lot of the other things, but the power of being present with that person. And like you said, even the mantra of saying, you know, I love you in the spirit, not even audibly,
you know, I really appreciate you, you know, namaste, and as it relates to just being present with it, because you never know, just touching a person, not lightly, but just, you know, on the arm, or just letting the spirit, try the spirit, by the spirit, as it relates to how we connect with people. And just enjoying beauty. One of the activities that I'm learning to do is when I travel, I take pictures and I say, this is living. Why? Because as we live life at work, or as we live work life, it is actually enjoying the work that we do. It's actually enjoying the life that we live moment by moment. So thank you so much for sharing that, because that's a really good example of that moment-to-moment meditation. And it's different for different people.
And I think to close that loop is that the more we do that, the more meditation becomes something that we are rather than something that we do. Meditation,
oh,
I don't
goodness, thank
meditate.
You.
I don't sit and meditate these days, but I think and I hope that there's a quality of stillness about me because I have meditated that is infused in everything I do, hopefully, when I garden, when I cook. It becomes intrinsic to the nature. So anybody wants to know more about meditation, it's one of my hobby horse topics. I love to talk about that.
Well, thank you. We're going to go ahead and end with the commercial. We're getting the countdown, and thank you so very much, Sandan, for coming on and being our special guest today. Thank you, Sharon Jackson, for co-hosting with me, and thank you for all of our guests coming on and Rosa sharing your question. And with that, we're going to go to our final commercial, and we'll look to see everybody back on the show next week. Thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.